We have been doing a study of the six typical men as found in the book of Romans. So far, we've looked at number one, the guilty man, found in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. Second, we've looked at the justified man in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 to 26. Number three, the identified man, as found in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Number four, the wretched man, found in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 25. Number five, the liberated man, is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Today we'll look at the last of the six typical men as found in the book of Romans, and that would be the yielded man. The yielded man, found in Romans chapter number 12 in verses 1 and 2. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is what the Bible says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we say the yielded man, we say meaning yielded to God, no longer yielded to the flesh in sin. Look in Romans chapter 6 just for a moment. Romans chapter number 6 in verse number 13. Romans 6 verse 13. The word of God says this, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, to be yielded, we must first present our bodies to God for His use. We can only do this by the mercies of God, and we can't do it in our own power. Amen. Again, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Amen. Now, we know of God's mercy firsthand, do we not? Mercy is not giving someone what he deserves. You see, as sinners, we deserve to go to hell. But God was merciful and saved us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to take all of us, body, soul, and spirit, and put it up there on the altar to be sacrificed. Verse 1 in Romans 12 tells us that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, a heart that is right with God that He can use. Not a dead sacrifice. A dead sacrifice doesn't mean anything to God. Notice, first I want us to travel to Psalms number 51. In Psalm number 51, notice what the words of Almighty God say. In Psalm 51, when we get to Psalm 51, look at verse 17. It describes what the sacrifices of God are. The sacrifices of God are, number one, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen? That's what sacrifices are to God, a broken heart, a contrite heart. Amen? a heart that God can use. Then let's go to 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 with me, I want us to look at, and once we get to 1 Samuel 15, let's look at verse number 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse number 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord His great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in the obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And the analogy here is this. Amen. It's better to obey what God says, to be yielded to Him, to be yielded to His Word, and then to give these religious sacrifices. In other words, these outward religious acts. They don't mean anything to Almighty God, amen? You see, He wants you and I to daily sacrifice ourselves for Him, living for Christ, letting Him live through you. Remember this, to be a sacrifice, it has to cost you something. Not only are we to present our bodies a living sacrifice, but a holy sacrifice. God instructs His people in His words over and over again to be holy, to be set apart. Amen? For example, if we turn to the book of 1 Peter, amen, 1 Peter with me, in 1 Peter chapter number 1, right there in chapter number 1 of 1 Peter, in verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15, the words of God say this, "But he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Now, I know we think of the word conversation meaning speech, talk, but it means more than that. Amen. Not only in what we say, but what we do, how we act, how we live for God, in all of what we do, how we conduct our affairs, or to be holy, to be set apart for God. And then in verse 16, there in 1 Peter 15, it says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Because God is holy, and that's who we're to be yielded to, a holy God, we, as believers, are to be holy. Live in such a way that is set apart for Him. That God, Jesus Christ, would have the preeminence, would take precedent over everything else in our lives. Amen? Also notice, in the book of Ephesians with me, in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse number 4, notice what the words of God say in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." And then if we turn to Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 27, amen, in reference here to the body of Christ as a whole, amen, we read here, "that He," amen, that's Jesus Christ, "might present it," what's the it? The church, "to Himself, a glorious church," amen, "not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be," here it is, "holy." There's that word holy again. "And without blemish." Amen. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, in reference to believers, amen, 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 9, in reference to believers, we are told in God's words, but ye are a chosen generation, amen, a royal priesthood, and holy, there's that word holy again, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 4 to 6, provides us of the description of a woman who is holy and yielded to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. Notice, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. You know, an ornament is, we think of an ornament is something outside that someone would wear on their body. Well, a woman, it says, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. That's how a woman who is holy, who is yielded to God, should outwardly to everyone that see her have a meek and quiet spirit. Doesn't finish there, which is in the sight of God a great price. He sees that as a great price. Verse 5. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also. See that? The holy women also. It's talking about holy women. Who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection under their own husbands. Those who trusted in God, those holy women, adorn themselves, we saw in a meek and quiet spirit, but also in subjection to their husbands. And then in verse 6, we see Sarah, Abraham's wife, is given as an example. Notice, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Again, over and over and over again, in God's word, we're told to be holy because he's holy, to live a holy life, separated unto God. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in 1 Peter chapter 2, amen. Rather, 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 21, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the words of God tell us who God used as his instruments to write the Bible, the Holy Bible. Notice, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen? So God used holy men as instruments to work through the writer's book. You see, God only uses people who are holy and yielded to him. Amen? Now, Romans chapter 1 tells us if we present our bodies to God, the two criteria to be acceptable to God is a living sacrifice and holy. In verse 1, if we go back there to Romans chapter 12, It says, I beseech you therefore, in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And then it says, which is your reasonable service. So here in verse 1 of Romans 12, the words of God tell us presenting our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy, is not only acceptable to God, but also, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service, meaning nothing out of the ordinary, within reason. Amen? See, God is not putting any great demand on us. It's what He expects from us. Amen? Now, there are a lot of folks who are saved, going to heaven when they die, but are not yielded to God or surrendered to God, who are not disciples of Christ, who are saved but not really Christians. Well, you might say, I thought if you were saved, you were a Christian. Well, the Bible gives us the definition of a Christian. Let us go to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were first called Christians, first in Antioch. Disciples. See? In order to be more than just saved, amen, you have to be a disciple of Christ to truly be a Christian. Amen? These are folks that we read about in Antioch who are more than just saved. They were disciples. They were yielded to Christ. They, on a daily basis, took up their cross and followed Him. They died daily to self. They were crucified in Christ. Their life reflected this. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said. As we know that he was an example, if not the best example, of a disciple of Jesus Christ, one whose life reflected a holy life, set apart for God. He made the statement to the Galatians. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In other words, he's saying he's crucified with Christ. He's totally yielded to Christ. See? He has done what he told the Romans to do. He's presented his body a living sacrifice. And holy, a living and holy sacrifice. And his life reflected that. We have to ask ourselves, do our life reflect that yielded life to Christ? And he goes on, he says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he's saying, okay, outwardly, people can see me, Paul, the person Paul. But who is driving my engine, who's running my life, who's directing me, is Jesus Christ. He's living through me. And Paul's life reflected that. He wants to live through each and every one of us as believers. Amen? But that can't happen unless we're yielded. Amen. We're yielded to Him on a daily basis, that we present each day our bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. A living sacrifice, not some dead religious routine. Amen. We know what that is. You know, saying the same prayer over and over and over again. All these religious traditions that man puts before the words of God. Those are dead sacrifices. Those are not living sacrifices. The Word of God is living. It's alive. Amen. See? Anything to do with God is life. Jesus came to give us life, but not only life, but life more abundantly. Amen. So when you're yielded to Almighty God, my friends, you're more alive than you've ever been. Because Jesus Christ, my friend, is in the business of giving us life. And if you want that life that Christ wants for you and for me, then we need to yield ourselves to Him. To present our bodies each day to Him. Living sacrifices, holy. Amen. If we're going to serve a holy God, then we need to be holy. I didn't say sinless. God didn't mean sinless. Only Jesus Christ was the only sinless man. But yielded. Letting Him be in charge. Letting Him be on the throne of your heart. Amen. That's what we're talking about. Amen? Being yielded. Yielded to Him. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9 together, verse 23. And here's God's formula for discipleship. Someone who is more than just saved. Someone who is totally yielded to Him. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The words of God say, and He said to them all, this is Jesus speaking to His disciples, if any man will come after me, if in other words, if you're truly my disciple, this is going to take place, let him deny himself. Amen. Deny himself. Deny his flesh. Keep his body under. Be yielded to me on a daily basis. Walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Take up his cross. People will say a whole bunch of things about what the cross is. But the cross is suffering. Amen. Christ suffered on the cross. You know, some think people will say it's sickness or family troubles or this or the other thing. No. Your cross is suffering for Jesus Christ. Amen? Because if you truly are yielded to Jesus Christ, you're living for Him, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God on a daily basis. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Amen. Well, the persecution may not be to the extent that some Christians experience in foreign lands. Amen. But there will be persecutions. People will shun you, will not have anything to do with you. Your family may want nothing to do with you, your friends, your former friends, and so forth and so on. Or you may try to go door to door and witness and have the door slammed in your face, whatever it may be, there's going to be persecution. You know, when you stand up for the things of God, amen, and you stand up and say, no, the government's wrong when they force people to do such and such, amen. See, you're going to suffer, amen. They're going to say you're a malcontent, that you're rebellious. No, there are certain things the Bible says that we ought to obey God and not men, amen. But that's what we're talking about. That's what discipleship is. Take up his cross and then finally, follow me. Follow me. See, once you deny yourself, number one, take up your cross daily, number two, then and only then can you follow Christ. Amen. Follow his example. Amen. Follow his example. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about following in Christ's steps. And in verse 21 and following, it says, for even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. We just said, deny self, take up your cross and follow him. And he's left us an example that you should follow his steps. And it goes, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. They said some nasty things about him. Spit in his face, slapped him, but he didn't fight back. And when he suffered, amen, we know that he suffered like no other human being, person ever suffered. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He left it to God the Father to judge, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's what we're talking about, being yielded to God. Amen. Now, when I think of the word yield, it reminds me of the yield sign we see on when coming onto a highway or into a rotary. Amen. The sign is telling us to yield to traffic ahead. And when it's clear, then proceed. If it's clear when you come in the traffic, then you can proceed. But you know what? Sometimes we must make a complete stop because of the traffic ahead. Sometimes we have to sit for a while until clear. And boy, do we not like to sit for a while. We are so impatient as human beings. See? And if don't yield when there's traffic ahead and proceed, we will have an accident. And the results will be disastrous. So, I give you this illustration to say this. There's the same way with you and I. If we don't yield to God, to the Spirit of God, then the results will be disastrous. And I know, even from my own life, from my own experience, and I'm sure you can say the same thing. When there was a time in your life when you didn't yield to God, amen, to the Spirit of God, to the leading of the Spirit of God, to that still small voice that said, stop, don't do it, amen, the results were disastrous. So that concludes our study on the six typical men found in the book of Romans. The guilty man, the justified man, the identified man, the wretched man, the liberated man, and the yielded man. My friend, if you're not yielded to God as a believer, amen, won't you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy to God on a daily basis.